Track 2. Every day above ground is a good day. Now living in Norfolk and long familiar to its stages, Joe Pasquale reflects on life in the county and his return to Panto.
Joe Pasquale has half an eye on the clock. There's a live radio slot looming, another interview to squeeze in, and later he'll be back on the road again. Yet down the phone, he sounds exactly as you'd expect. He's chatty, oh so chatty, genuinely warm, quick fire, and just a bit daft, his trademark chuckle never far away. He's nattering to me ahead of his return to one of his hometown theatres, The Orchard in Dartford, where he'll be back on panto duty this Christmas in Cinderella. But Norfolk audiences know him just as well. Joe is no stranger to the county, having performed regularly at its theatres and holiday parks over the years, and he lived in Hopton-on-Sea earlier in his life. These days, he's back living in Norfolk again, and there's a strong family connection too. His son, Joe Tresini, has become a much-loved regular in Norwich Theatre Royal's pantomime. Cinderella marks a double milestone for Joe, his first pantomime in a decade, and his 40th year in the business of He's Behind You. For years, Cinderella has meant one thing for Joe, playing Buttons, the lovelorn sidekick. This year, at 65, he's graduating to Baron Hardup. "It's my 40th year in panto, and I'm playing Baron Hardup for the first time," he says. "I'd normally be playing Buttons, but I am 65 this year, and it gets a little bit weird when Buttons is there with Cinderella, who's 21. I love you, Cinderella," he laughs. "It's a little bit weird now, especially in the day and age we live in, so I'm playing her dad this year." There's no script yet. I can't really give you that sort of information. But he's relishing the chance to do something different. "It'd be a good change for me, so I'm very excited to show something completely different." Though he's long been claimed by Kent, he spent the best part of 30 years living around Rochester, Joe is, at heart, an Essex lad. "Yeah, I'm a Greys boy," he says proudly. He had vivid memories of growing up on the Thames. His dad used to take him to the wharf, he calls it the Wolf Pub, at Grey's Beach, back in the days when children weren't allowed in the bar. "He'd take me down there and go and play dominoes or darts. In those days, kids weren't allowed in the pub, and he would let me play on the beach, if you call it a beach, in the mud and in the space, because there's no sand at Grey's Beach." Joe would be left to his own devices for hours, hunting for old clay pipes in the mud. "Dad'd go in there for hours and come out, give me a packet of cheese and onion crisps and a bottle of Coke, and then come back 3 hours later, and there I'd be, covered in mud, looking for a clay pipe." He knows you couldn't do that now. Imagine leaving a kid on Grey's Beach for 3 or 4 hours. But he's grateful for the freedom that he had. It's part of why he believes so strongly in the magic of pantomime. For Joe, panto isn't just seasonal work. It's an essential introduction to live theatre. It's the first time that kids get to be part of a live audience and interact with people on the stage and express themselves by shouting and screaming at the characters. He muses. In a world of screens and headphones, he thinks that matters more than ever. Kids are so bogged down with computers and iPads that this is the first time, if you get them hooked at this stage as a theatre-goer, they'll be a theatre-goer all their life, which is why I think panto is important. He sees it as a rare shared experience, too. It's the time of year that brings all the families together. It brings all age groups together, the little kids, the middle-aged kids, the older kids, and then the grannies and granddads and the mums and dads. That's the thing that starts the bonding over Christmas, I think. Anyone who's seen Joe on stage knows he doesn't stand still for long. The panto, he says, is a marathon, not a jolly run-around. I am 65 this year, but I do go to the gym every day, he says. That's the whole thing with Panto. It's a marathon. People think, oh, it's going to be fantastic. But by the end of the first week, they're absolutely knackered. Audiences might only come once, he points out, so the last show has to feel as sharp as the first. If they come at the beginning, they see a great show. If they come at the end, they deserve the same show. It's no good walking out after a month going, oh, I'm so tired now. To keep going, he's strict with himself. Early nights, decent food, no late-night drinking when there are two shows the next day, three on a Saturday. You really have to look after yourself, he says. Away from the spotlight, Joe's life in Norfolk would probably surprise anyone who only knows the squeaky voice comic from the telly. I've got a pilot's license, he says matter-of-factly. Every chance I can, I'll go and fly a plane. I'll rent a plane and go and take that out. Nobody will come with me. When he lived in Kent, he often flew from Rochester. Now he'll head to Norwich or all sorts of different places near his new home in Norfolk, where he moved after COVID. The move to a new county has been a change. It's a huge difference, he says of the change in pace. But I don't have to deal with the Dartford Tunnel every day, so that's a bonus, isn't it? He's also a big motorbike person and has taken open university degrees in geoscience. He paints when he can and has discovered a genuine love of cooking. I'm really good at pastry, he says, delighted. I've learned how to bake cakes as well. I'm great at bolognese. I'm great at pasta. I'm very good at making my own bread as well. Cooking is a real highlight for me. Friends don't go hungry. I'm a bit of a feeder. Someone comes round and they say, I can't eat all that. Well, you've got to. I've made it. During Panto season, he'll always try to base himself in an Airbnb so he can cook rather than relying on hotel food. If you go to a hotel, then you're at the mercy of whatever they're putting on a plate for you. If there's a thread that links the aerial adventures, motorbikes, degrees, and new recipes, it's his appetite for risk. I realised a long time ago I'm completely fearless. There's nothing I won't do. If I can't do it, I'll go and learn how to do it. A book, Susan Jeffers' Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, crystallised that mindset. It teaches you to fight any fear you've got. Just go through it, and then you're out the other side, and you're not scared of it anymore, he says. Asked where his instinct for making people laugh began, and he goes straight back to childhood. He once said his greatest joy growing up was making his mum laugh, and that still feels true, even though she died more than a quarter of a century ago. It was an important part of my life because my mum, she suffered from depression a lot. So that was my main thing, if I could just go and cheer her up, really. These days, his own family are, understandably, harder to impress. As you get older and you get your own family, they don't look at it in the same way. They go, oh God, Dad's off again. They don't have the same lust for my, let's say, my kind of thing. He laughs. Although Norfolk is home now, Kent still tugs at him. I was down there for the best part of 30 years, he says. Whitstable was a favourite haunt. I used to go to Whitstable all the time. I love Whitstable. And also used to go down there and get oysters very cheaply. For all the busy schedule and physical graft, he insists he doesn't really relax. I keep active all the time, he says. At 65, the aches are real. At a certain age, your body's starting to say, I ache everywhere. But if I didn't go to the gym and do the things I do, I would ache a lot more than that. As dancers say, use it or lose it. If you don't use those muscles, they'll go and you'll never get them back. So, he trains, he cooks, flies, and keeps saying yes to new projects. This year, that includes a trip to the Edinburgh Festival to appear in 11 and a Half Angry Men, a comedy riff on the classic courtroom drama 12 Angry Men, followed by A Month on the Road with comedy pals Brian Connolly, Bradley Walsh and Shane Ritchie, before Panto season returns. By the time Christmas rolls around and the curtains open in Dartford, he'll have a lot of miles and laughs behind him. But he's not one for worrying about what's next. Asked how he manages his own stresses when his job is helping other people forget theirs, he comes back with something simple. "I think it's getting old," he says. "You actually learn to just go. Every day above the ground is a good day."